We're going to read some scriptures that tell the same story they just sang. Turn to Matthew chapter 26 with me. In verse 26, I want to share about five things with you this morning. I'll do it as rapidly as I can. First of all, the prediction of Christ's resurrection was made in three annual feasts of the Jews. And Christ's death, burial, and resurrection fulfilled the feast of Passover, where the blood was shed of the lamb, of unleavened bread, where they took away the sin from their homes in the form of yeast. They took it all away and ate bread that had no leaven in it. And then the first Sunday after Passover and unleavened bread begins is the Feast of First Fruits. And those feasts recognize what was going to happen, that Christ, the Lamb of God, would die to take our sin away. He would take it away when he was buried in the grave, never to be remembered against us again. And then he would rise again from the dead on the first fruits from the dead with a glorified body, and it would guarantee the rest of the harvest. This was their wave offering of the first of the crops of the harvest would be on that day. And by them bringing that to God, it would assure that God would bless the remainder of their harvest. I want to say to you that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and everyone who has faith and trust in him, our harvest is guaranteed. We'll go to be with God because of what Christ has done. Matthew 26, verse 26 says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink it henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung an hymn, they went out of the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, 'All ye should be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee.'" Let's pray. Father, as we look into the Word today, I ask for your help to be a help to your people, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring honor and glory unto you, our Father. We ask your blessings upon this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we are looking at the prediction of the feasts for Passover, for unleavened bread, and for the first fruits. We'll look at some other verses in just a moment. Secondly, we're looking at the proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All the witnesses who saw him over a 40-day period of time alive from the grave. He has over 500 brethren at one time, all of his disciples. And last of all, Paul said, "Me," as one born out of due time. Thirdly, we see that the resurrection of Christ became the prominent theme of the early church. This was their primary message. They dealt primarily with the Jewish people in the early church, and the Jewish people knew all the Old Testament scriptures, all the religions, all the feasts, and all these things. They just didn't know how they were fulfilled in Christ and the church that was hidden from them in a mystery. The prominent theme became the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Fourthly, we see that Christ's resurrection is our justification. We are just before God, declared righteous in his sight, not because of our goodness or works that we have done, but because of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And it's assured to us by the resurrection from the dead. And then, last of all, if we get to it, our resurrection is tied to his resurrection. Because Christ is risen, we too shall rise. Now, last week, we looked at the triumphal entry as Christ rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, and we saw the sixth and seventh statement that Christ made from the cross. He said seven things, and we went over those over several weeks. He was crucified and died as a substitute for us, and therefore paid the price for our redemption. We've been sinners. We've committed sin. We've done terrible things. We've done unspeakable things. Most people sitting in this room would wish to God that the things they've done would never be revealed. I remember preaching to prisoners in a prison camp and telling them, I'm guilty, you're guilty, you got caught, I just haven't got caught. And God paid the price so that I could be forgiven, and he can pay the price for you today. And we teach that, and we preach that, and we believe that. And we are all sinners who've been saved by the grace of God if we're saved. It's through his mercy and his grace and forgiveness of sins. Now in Matthew 26, Jesus ate the Passover with his disciples. And then the soldiers came with Judas to arrest him. The Passover feast is the 14th day of Nisan in the Hebrew calendar. That's their month that coincides with our month of April. And their calendar only has 30 days equal and 12 months. And a day begins at sundown until sundown the next day. So the Sabbath day to them is Friday at sundown until Saturday at sundown. Their calendar is a little different from ours, and so it makes it a little more difficult for us to comprehend how the Catholic Church set up Good Friday when Jesus didn't die on Friday. The Bible says very clearly he had to spend 3 days and three nights in the grave, and he did that and came forth alive. His crucifixion was no doubt on Thursday, and he was buried before dark on that night. And so there was a portion of that day, and then the next day, Friday, and then the next day, Saturday. He stayed in the grave 3 days and three nights, and then on Sunday morning, he arose from the grave. And that coincides with Scripture. By the way, I've shared that on Facebook, a chart for that. If you are friends with me, you can see that. Now, Christ was crucified and risen and fulfills the feasts of the spring of Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. In the Gospel of John, chapter 18, I'm going to look at several passages rather rapidly. If you'd like to look there with me, you can, but I'm going to get to them as quick as I can and read them. John 18 and verse 39 says, if I find it here, Pilate, but ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Right? Barabbas was released because of the Feast of Passover, but Jesus died on the Feast of Passover to be the Passover lamb that shed his blood for you and for me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Jesus died, and he is the Passover lamb. He is the unleavened bread that takes away our sin. When John introduced Jesus at baptism, in John 1:29, he said to the people, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Every year the lamb died, and they covered their sin from year to year, waiting for something else that would take sin away forever and forever. They failed as a nation to recognize Jesus is that something else that would take away sin forever and forever. But all who believe on him, even those who believe on his name, John 1, 11 and 12, there's life eternal, there's forgiveness of sins. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave... I got my paper clip here in the way. and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart also, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now back in Philippians 2 and verse 7, Scripture says, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So this feast of first fruits is found, if you want to look there sometime, Leviticus 23. Seven major feasts are listed there. Hanukkah is not in that passage, because it took place at a later time. But Leviticus 23 deals with seven major feasts, and first fruits is verse 10 through 14. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20 through 24, the Bible says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. So the harvest is Christ's production that he blessed with God by offering himself as the first fruit. Then we who are saved are the harvest that will happen in another resurrection in the last day. Now at the time of Passover, this was the barley harvest and the flax harvest. And the Jews would have renewed themselves at these celebrations of Passover, unleavened bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. They would have repented of their sins. They would have sought to be spiritual. They would have sought to get close to God. They would celebrate these feasts. Some would come from their homes to the temple for celebrations of at least three major feasts every year. And it might be quite a trek and a long distance. They might not be able to bring their sacrifices with them of their harvest or of their lamb. And so they may come into Jerusalem and then buy those to offer unto God. And that's why Jesus cleansed the temple and rebuked the leaders there for making merchandise of the people and robbing them with exorbitant costs for these sacrifices and all those things. The Feast of Unleavened Bread and then the Feast of First Fruits. This would be a time the Jews would draw close to God. They would seek his blessings upon their harvest. Matthew 6:33, Jesus taught the Jewish people in the Sermon on the Mount. And he told them to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Food and clothes and shelter. And so the blessing of God, offer unto God, and then you'll receive the blessings from God. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5, the Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So giving to the Lord of the time of the first fruit harvest assured God's blessings upon you to fill your barns and to have plenty. Secondly, today we look at the fact that Christ's resurrection is proven by all the witnesses for those 40 days after he was crucified. He rose from the dead. For 40 days he appeared alive on earth. Then he ascended into heaven, and the disciples went to Jerusalem and waited in prayer for 10 days, and the feast of Pentecost came. Penta means 50. That was the 50th day feast that came, and that's where the Holy Spirit came to indwell the believers. And that's where Peter and others preached, and thousands were saved as a result and baptized. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus said to John, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and hold the keys of death and hell. Jesus taught the resurrection from the dead. He revealed himself to men. He revealed himself to witnesses who would tell. In 1 Corinthians 15, when the Apostle Paul wrote this chapter, he explains the gospel message in the first verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen of me as of one born out of due time. He didn't mention the women who came to the tomb. He probably didn't mention every person, but he mentioned these as witnesses that were assured of Christ risen from the dead, who knew him well, who saw him and saw him alive. I say to you today, eternal life is real, and it is in the person of Jesus Christ, and you receive eternal life when you receive Christ as your Savior. He died and was buried and saw no corruption. Lazarus had died. Jesus went to his grave. He said, I'm not going for a couple of days because this is not unto death. This is for the glory of God. And he waited 2 days, and then they went there. And when they got to the tomb of Lazarus, he'd been dead for 4 days. And Jesus told his disciples, Lazarus is sleeping. They said, well, let's go, let's sleep too. That's a good thing. And he said, Lazarus is dead. They said, well, let's go die with him. And Jesus said, this is not unto death. This is for the glory of God. He went there and he called Lazarus forth from the grave. They unwrapped him. He saw no corruption. The same is true with Jesus. He was crucified, wrapped, buried, placed in a tomb. 3 days, 3 nights, he rose from the dead and he saw no corruption. He said at Lazarus' tomb, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. Now, many main religions have followers, but the founders of those religions are dead and in the grave. Christianity is the only one that has a living Savior. Of course, I think now Farrakhan claims he's the Messiah, and he may be the living Savior of that group, but he's going to die one day. I want to see him come forth from the grave. And I believe he'll be a part of the resurrection of the lost, going to hell for all eternity. Jesus lives. He's the living Savior. Those religions' teaching might have some moral points. It might have some good points. But they cannot give life. The words of Christ are life-giving by faith in him. Christ ever lives, therefore he can make intercession for us even now. Our Savior's at the right hand of God the Father making intercession on our behalf. And therefore our Savior ever lives. Priests and kings and rulers can rule over people and do certain things, but there comes a point where they die and they go to the grave and they got to be replaced. Jesus never has to be replaced, and he never has to die again. Thirdly, a prominent theme of the early church. Jesus taught the Jewish people, they asked for a sign. Tell us truly right now, are you really the Savior or not? Are you the Messiah or not? And Jesus said, the works I've done prove that I am. I have told you that I am. You don't believe, so why should I tell you anything more? He said, the only sign that's going to be for you to know this is the sign of the prophet Jonah. How Jonah was swallowed by the whale and then spit out on dry ground alive from the dead. And he said this same sign would be given. He would die and be buried and rise again from the dead. He said to them in the same vein that destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And they thought of the earthly temple, and they said it took 46 years to build it, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days. And they overlooked the spiritual significance of what he was talking about because they were blind. Jesus met all the requirements of the Messiah. He was the son of Abraham and the son of David. His family heritage for both his father and his mother traced him back. He was born of a virgin, as the scripture had prophesied. He healed the sick and raised the dead and gave sight to the blind. And all of these things, the Bible pointed that the Messiah would do these things. And Jesus did them, yet they still did not believe. At best, they called him a prophet. But I want to say to you, he's more than a prophet. Jesus fulfills the role of the Messiah, which we call the Christ. And he has provided redemption for us. We gather today not in a memorial of a tomb or a grave or for rituals to be done in the name of someone's religion. We gather to honor the living Savior, Jesus Christ. We do not have to rehearse a certain teaching that he left behind or follow a certain ritual. Hebrews 7:25 says, we celebrate our Savior who lives and is able to save to the uttermost those that believe in him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. In the book of Romans chapter 1, the Bible exalts the resurrection of Christ. Romans 1 verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. I mean, this is not smoke and mirrors, friends. This is not a charlatan faith healer breaking crutches and all that kind of stuff, you know, and telling people what to do and people whispering in his ear what if somebody's got and all that kind. This is the Son of God who died to pay for our sins and rose again from the dead, and he's alive forevermore. We gather today to honor him, to celebrate what he has done. Christ is Lord. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection then becomes the prominent theme of the early church. He was preached by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. All of these witnesses who saw him, this was their message. This was their proof positive. This was their preaching to the people that Jesus, who they crucified, is the Son of God, and he can save you and forgive you of all your sins. The people cried out to Peter when he preached, what must we do? He said, believe and be baptized. And they did, and 3,000 were saved and baptized. Fourthly, Christ's resurrection is the essential element of proof of our justification. If you want to look at Romans chapter 4, I'll hasten in the reading. Romans 4 and verse 24. In verse 23 says, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Proof of our justification. The Hebrew people put great stock in the high priest who made intercession for them, making all the offerings and going into the veil of the temple and sprinkling the blood and all those things. They put great stock in the prophet who heard from God and then spoke to the people the word of God. They put great stock in the king, like David, who was placed there by God to be their ruler and who sought to meet their needs and protected them. Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. Unlike the normal earthly men who serve in those for limited times and in limited abilities, he is absolute, and he ever lives and serves to protect you and provide for you and intercede on your behalf. Unlike the earthly prophet or priest or king, they come to a point where they die. Christ died and rose again from the dead and is alive forevermore. And by the way, he's coming again to take us to heaven to be with him forevermore. Hebrews tells us a lot about Christ. It told the Hebrew people how to believe on him as the Messiah. The writer says that Jesus was superior to angels, superior to Moses, superior to Joshua, superior to Aaron the high priest. His sacrifice was superior to the animal sacrifices. Christ's New Testament is his will and testament written in his own blood, and it is superior to the Old Testament. His sacrifice is superior for all of those who believe. And as a Savior, he is superior to all others. Our hope of a resurrection is tied to the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. Romans 8, verse 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken," and that word means make alive, "your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But ye through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Many passages reveal to us if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then we have the promise of the resurrection also. We're assured. We teach men to appeal and plead with them to be saved. The same Jesus whom God raised from the dead will judge the world in righteousness one day. It's important you know him as your Savior, that you know him as one who's been forgiven of his sins when you stand before him in that appointed day. Thanks be unto God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Everything we believe about our future and our hope is all based on the fact of what Jesus did for us in dying on the cross and rising again from the dead and being alive forevermore and soon coming again. Let's stand together, please. Lord, bless your people here today. Encourage them, strengthen them in their faith. Help them be a witness for you. And if there's someone not sure of their soul today, help them to be miserable, Lord, till they come and make it right and get it settled that they know Christ is their Savior. We stand ready to help them today, Lord. Help them to know we're not worried about having to slide by somebody to get to the aisle, and we're not worried about looking at them in any way that would embarrass them. We want to see them saved, and we know you do. And so we ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.